Hello, this message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Muslim Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
It's true, your word is life. Your word brings illumination to the simple. We receive your word with meekness of heart this morning, and we ask that the truth we're going to hear today will bear them in heart and will bring forth fruits of righteousness. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen and amen. Turn your Bibles to the book of Philippians 1 and verse 25. Philippians 1 and verse 25 is a good place to start. He says, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide. Somebody say abide. Say it again, say abide. I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. This is a statement of a pastor. And if you read the previous verse, he was trying to make a decision whether to stay back on earth or to go be with the Lord. But in verse 25, he finds a bigger reason why he should stay back. Look at verse 23, let me show you, so that you can get the contextual message here. He says, for I am in a strait between two. Having a desire to depart, that means, listen, Paul is done with his work. And he says, look, I feel like going to heaven. I'm done with my assignment. You remember Paul said, I have finished my course. So he knew he was done. But look at what it says. For I am in a strait between two, having a desire to depart. He desires to leave and to be with Christ, which is far better. Somebody say far better. So he knew that going to be with the Lord at that moment was far better. But in verse 24, let's go. He says, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Come on. He's writing to the church in Philippi. He says, I am done with my assignment. I want to go. I feel like going. I'm done. But for me to remain in the flesh is needful for you. Come on, talk to me. So he now makes a conclusion. Now, this is the art of a pastor, that even when he knew it was time for him to leave, he still chose to stay back. Look at verse 25. He now says, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide. Oh, did you see that? So the reason why he makes the decision to abide was for your what? Your furtherance and what? Joy of faith. Now the word furtherance there is from the Greek called prokope. It's what we call spiritual growth. So Paul has the spiritual growth of the people in mind. So our gathering as a church is not an end in itself. It's a means to an end. Stop coming to church, all right, to mark the calendar that you came to church or to clear off the guilt of not coming. Come on. See, haven't you seen there are people you left at home that you invited them to church, they did not come. By the time you get back, you ask them, you meet them, they will say, hope you pray for us. And have you noticed that the day you don't come to church, and people are going to church, for one reason or the other, you didn't come to church. Throughout the time when people are in church, you are feeling guilty. But once people come back from church, all of a sudden, the guilt disappears. Come on, talk to me. So, it turns out that some people come to church just to clear the guilt for not coming. So, to them, coming to church was the end. But no, God has a bigger plan. Coming to church is not the end in itself. It's a means to an end. So a pastor here is saying, look, I choose to abide with you for your furtherance. For. So the reason for church, the reason why he would stay is for their furtherance. Their furtherance in the faith. That means that your Christian faith, that's your conviction. All right? You can know more on it. You can get deeper in it. This is the essence of church. That your faith will be rooted more. That your conviction will be stronger. That you will learn more. That you will grow more. That your love will abound yet more and more through knowledge. That you will stand perfect in all the will of God. That you will be strengthened with might by His Spirit in your inner man. All this will be communicated through infusion, through impartation, and through the ministry of the teaching of God's word. So He says, I choose to abide with you for your furtherance. For your prokope, your spiritual growth. Hallelujah. So, we have a goal, for instance, in this church. Our goal, I have told you, is actually a specific exposition of the entire Matthew 28 verse 19. It says, go into all the world and make disciples of all creatures, of all nations. And we said the word nation means a people bound together by a common descriptive parameter. So you can have a nation of traders, nation of doctors. Now you are going to be God's representative in those nations where you belong. So the church is the place where we equip you for that purpose. So we are equipping you for the work of ministry. So church is a training center, and you must see it as such. And you see, you have to realize, like I've said before, that you see, you are in Christ, not for yourself. A lot of people have a wrong idea about Christianity. You are not in Christ for yourself. All right, like, okay, I want a Lamborghini. God has done it. It's your testimony. Now again, you have to have a bigger dream of, okay, God, I want five Mercedes, and God does it, which is good because he's a good God. Say loud, amen. But much more than that, you have to realize that you are not in Christ for yourself. You are in Christ for Christ. And I'm going to show you this. Listen, give me the book of 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 15. I think this particular passage explains this very well. He says, and that he died for all. Why did he die for all? Verse 15. And that he died for all. Why did he die for all? That they which live should not what? Henceforth live unto themselves, but what? Unto him which died for them and rose again. So his death was an investment. He died for you so you can live for him. The death that was due you, he took it. Jesus did not come to rescue you from death. Mm-mm. The death that was due you, he actually died it. He died that death so that you can live for him. So, like I always say, you are living someone else's life. The life you live is not your own. That's why Paul in Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. That means me, the former me, was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. You have to understand the communication of Paul. He says, yet not I. It is Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In other words, what he's trying to say is, I am not living for me. I am living for the one who took my debt. Because that debt was what I deserved. Now I'm living his life. So I must carry out his passion. Because his passion has been told us in Luke 19:10 that he came to seek and save the lost. So now the only justice I can do to this life that I'm living is to carry out his passion, which is to reach out. And that's what we're saying. That's the reason you are in church. So church is not an end in itself. It's a means to an end. It is for your furtherance, for your growth. And you see, like I used to say, spiritual growth is not an abstract ideology. Spiritual growth is measurable, is discernible, and it is deliberate. You have to make up your mind that you must have an henceforth moment, like I told them in first service, where you say that I henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro. You see, the local church, all right, is the most important institution to God on earth. In fact, it's the only institution of God that will last forever. And so, wisdom, therefore, is to be part of what lasts forever. One, read history. No scheme of man could have stopped the church. They've tried all their best. The church will outlive everybody. And it's the only thing that lasts forever on this earth realm, the church. The local church. Listen, as beautiful and as wonderful as para-church ministries are, you know, like I told them in first service, the man who has the strongest para-church ministry is Rhema Bible Institute of Kenneth E. Hagin. And that same man openly said that if pastors are doing their job of teaching the believers, there will be no need for Bible schools. there will be no need for parachurch ministries. It therefore means that God's original intent was that the spiritual need of everyone who is in Christ will be catered for in the local assembly. Are you following what I'm saying? It is God's design. The church is the institution of the truth. Look at it. The Bible says in the book of 1 Timothy, give it to me, 1 Timothy 3:15. 1 Timothy 3:15, what did he say? He says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. So he's talking to Timothy, and he gives him instruction on how to behave himself in the church, because this Timothy at the time was a teenager who was pastoring, or a multilingual, a multiracial, and, a multi-demographic congregation. Then he tells him that he should know how to behave himself in the house of God, the church of God, which is what? The church of the living God. And he calls that church what? The pillar and the ground of truth. The pillar and the ground. Now, the pillar and ground there, all right, is metaphoric of institution. When something is a pillar and ground of something, it means it is the institution of that thing. It's a metaphoric expression. So he is saying that church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. It's institution where, in other words, church is the Bible school. Are you following what I'm saying? It's a training institute. It's God's only accredited platform to grow believers in the faith. And listen, we live in a generation where we are so sensational. If there is no AC, thank God there is AC, even though they are blessed. Amen. A lot of believers are carried away with, fanciful things and eye-catchy things, which are all beautiful. Make no mistakes about it. The little aesthetics you see here, comparatively, right? There are some places where they meet under a tree, right? All right? The little aesthetics you see here that we can put up, based on our present capacity, is just a way of expressing the inward excellence that we actually have. For example, I dress good. I do. I've told you, I was best dressed in my university from year 1 to year 5. Until my year 5, my best friend took it from me and I was giving most admired. So the reason why I dress good, all right, is the same reason why I would love my house to look nice. It's the same reason why church is looking good. Nothing. So if you go to the village, for example, for Christmas, and then you find a place where the power of God is demonstrated and God's word is taught, Christ is preached, sit down there, go there. There are places where they have all the click lights, all the light being chuk-chuk-chuk-chuk-chuk-chuk-chuk-chuk, all right? And then what is being churned out on the pulpit is not feeding the spirit of the congregant. And I'm not saying that you should have an either-or mindset about these things. We can have the two. Say a loud amen. Amen. Say a loud amen.
Amen.
All right? We can have a property in Kefi here where it will stand out in the world and we will still preach correct message. Say a loud amen.
Amen.
But if you are left with either-or situation as an option, I will advise, let your priority be set right. Understand that the primary purpose of church is not to come and socialize. The primary purpose of church is for. Somebody say for. That for is a big for. It says for you, for your furtherance. Writing to the church in Ephesus, he says he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Another big for. He says for the perfecting of the saints. So we are perfecting the saints. We are maturing the saints. We are equipping the saints for the work of ministry. What is the work of ministry? The Great Commission. You have to understand this, that our coming together is not an end in itself. It's a means to an end. It is to the end that, all right, you live the purpose of God for your life. Our intention is to build in you a consciousness of a purposeful living. Oh, I wish God would say something about you like this, that you lived for Christ. I so much desire that at the end of your sojourn here on earth, it will be said of you, brother XYZ lived for Christ. That's the whole essence. Listen, as a believer, there is no such thing as marital life, relationship life, my academic life. You know, people compartmentalize their life. And you hear people talk like that, say, I don't know why my spiritual life is doing well, but I don't know why my academic life is not. That's your problem begins from you departmentalizing your life. You have one life. You have the life of God in you. Now, that life will now influence every other aspect of your life. So your conviction that Christ died for you must reflect in how you live your life. It must be the fulcrum upon which every other thing rotates on. It must dictate the decisions you make about your maritas. Come on. It's not a different life. It is one life that has become a foundation upon which the conviction now begins to filter into other crevices of your life. So your conviction, your faith in Christ, all right, gives you the circumference of possibilities in other spheres of your life. For instance, as a child of God born again, you cannot, as a lady, say yes to somebody who is not born again. Proverbs 1 verse 10, if an unbeliever entices you, don't consent. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 14 to 16, do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Come on, talk to me. So your Christian conviction becomes the centerpiece of your life. We must be able to discern that you are living like somebody that someone died for indeed. Are you getting what I'm saying? For example, you can't cut corners in your workplace. You can't be a doctor and then, all right, you now start, some people are so terrible, and this is how terrible people can be when they are looking for money. They will give people drugs that is not good, that they know is not good, and they will charge them for the original. It's terrible. So, you see, you have to understand that church plays a vital part in your existence as a person. Hallelujah forevermore. I said hallelujah forevermore. So God has a goal, and that goal is for your furtherance and joy in the faith. Your furtherance and joy in the faith. So God's system of enlisting people into Christ and for Christ is the church. Because a lot of people do not know that the day you got born again, you received a ministry. And you have to be trained for that ministry. 2 Corinthians 5 that we were in, let's go to verse 17 so that you see. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature, all things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. Verse 18. And all things are of God who had reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given us what? So he reconciled us, and at the same moment, he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Pay attention. So God fulfilled his part of reconciling you in Christ, and in Christ, he enlists you to announce that ministry of his reconciliation, to bring many others into reconciliation. Do you understand? So what happened at salvation was a twofold thing. So God wrought his work of salvation in Christ. Reconciled you in Christ. For God was in Christ, reconciling the whole world to himself. Now he reconciled you in Christ. Now he now gives you the ministry of reconciliation to go and announce that work of reconciliation as a means of bringing others too into Christ. So he tells you in verse 19. That's why Paul, verse 19 now says, to wit that God was in Christ. Can you see that? Reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us what? The word of reconciliation. So our own responsibility is to announce, to erad, to popularize, to publicize, to preach, to proclaim, to decree, to declare, to erad that which he has done for us in Christ, to bring more into Christ. So our goal as a church primarily is to build a consciousness of Christ's relevance in the heart of everyone. Is to make every member of Cornerstone Christian Center have a personal responsibility for the spread of the gospel in your day through all the means that your day and time makes available for you. Charles Spurgeon in his day will ride on horseback. Whatever is available for you in your time and day till Jesus tarries, you use it for the propagation of the gospel. Your life is useful to God to the degree in which you have supported the propagation of the gospel. Listen, you have to see this. What I'm just sharing with you is the message of all message. That what will make your life count, that what will give your life a meaning, is how useful you are to God. You can be youthful and useful. Sounds like it rhymes, right? Yeah. And there is no brilliant way to do so, to have a personal commitment for the propagation of the gospel in your day. This is so important. So, and that's the essence of spiritual growth. You know, when we talk about spiritual growth, a lot of people get in their head, all right, and they get spooky, all right, about growing spiritually. But spiritual growth, let me tell you something. Just like as I said, that the church, coming to church is not an end in itself. It's a means to an end. Everything we do to you in church is not an end also. It is also a means to an end. So you come to church, you learn, you grow. Grow for what? Growth for growth. When you are a child, let's look at it from a natural standpoint. A very mundane, and this example is even so, it's not even a good example, but look at it. From a natural standpoint, when you were born as a girl, you were born with all the potentials of a mother. True? Yes, come on, talk to me. Yes, forget all those transgender. Those ones, they are confused. Amen. I've said it before that a transgender person, when he grows old and he dies and they bury him, 200 years later, if they dig his carcass, his bones out, and they take the bones to the laboratory, they will say he was a guy. If he was a lady, they will say he was a lady. One powerful example is the hips. Go and check the anatomy of a man and a woman. The hips of a woman. This hip bone, all right, ladies' own is wider. It's wider. And it is evident right from childhood. So all these demonic, I'm just a male body trapped in a female. These are demonic knowledge. So forget all those ones. They are just confused human beings. And Jesus died for them anyway. So preach the gospel to them if you find one. Amen. There was one I preached to not long. All these ones, they are cross-dressers. All right. So forget those ones. But the point I want to make is, when you give birth to a child as a baby girl, she's born with all the elements of being a mother, true? So you keep feeding her. Natural standpoint, though, you keep feeding her, she keep growing. All right, adolescent, start going, boom, she starts seeing her nipples, you know, swelling up. Started, you know, for the guys, you start seeing yellow hair. You're not going to start putting spirits, mentalated spirit. All right, his voice will start, all right, you know, start having baritone voice and all of that. So as the lady girl starts growing, is it growing for growth? Get married, have babies too, and the cycles begin. From natural standpoint, do you get what I'm saying? So growth is not for growth's sake. Oh, do you understand? You experience growth in church, right? Just like coming to church is not an end in itself, but a means to an end. In the same vein, All right, the spiritual growth you experience in church is not an end in itself. That's why, can I be honest with you? That's why I find no rational reason behind why churches in Kefi close down when students are off campus, when students are on holidays. I can't seem to understand. You're not running fellowship on campus. This is the church. I mean, some church closed down during holidays. Are you kidding me? As raptured occurred, students are away, they are home. Soho? Are there no human beings out there? Say, but there are not many. How would they show up now? Few of them will burn fuel. Why can't you trust God for money? And by the way, is money the reason why you are holding church? Oh, I see why you closed down. You know, there are some people, they are so carnal. There are some pastors so carnal. When they show up in church, the first thing that comes to their head, okay. They have to 300. If everybody pay 100 naira now, that's 300 times. You know, so carnal. That is not a preaching to make you not feel, we are going there. It's part, you must put your money where your mouth is.
Yes,
put your money where your faith is. Say loud amen.
Amen.
For example, now, this screen got broken now. All right. Can I prophesy? Somebody's going to buy one for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, screen got broken. The zeal of the house will consume you that, we need to get a new screen. Hallelujah forevermore.
Yeah.
So this is not in any way to jettison the importance of money. But what I'm saying is, coming to church is not an end in itself. You must do your own personal assessment. Okay, I'm coming to this church. I've been to the church for the next 3 months. Can I check myself? Can I do personal assessment check? Am I growing? Listen, if you are in this church for 6 months, you keep coming every Sunday and Tuesday. You are taking notes. You are collecting tape. You are listening for 6 months. And you don't grow. You can't see visible growth. I beg in the name of God, pack your bag and go. That means this is not your church. And I doubt if there's any other place you will grow. Do you know why I doubt? No, on a serious note, I'm not sure you know that person will hardly grow somewhere else. Because this church, I make bold to say, this church, I'm not trying to make, listen, guy, I dey preach, I'm serious. Pastor Sandra, I dey preach, right? I shared a video with Pastor Sandra, right, during the week. A great man of God I respect so much, reached out to me. Huh? Guy, I didn't preach you. I'm telling you. He was like, Pastor Elijah, I will finally be able to reach you. If I call his name, you open your mouth. Only Pastor Sandra and one of the persons knows. I shared the video. I shared. So I'm in this church. We have a curriculum system of teaching that we do. Because I have, listen, look at what Apostle Paul says. For your furtherance, let's look at it again, Philippians 1:25. He says, I'm having this confidence. I know that I shall abide and continue with you. Is that not what it is there? I know that I shall abide and continue with you all. For your what? Furtherance and joy in the faith. So Paul has an expectation as a pastor over the church in Philippi. So the expectation he has was for their furtherance, their spiritual growth. What furtherance? Prokope, spiritual growth. Now, if you have an expectation, you must put in the work for that expectation to work, right? Talk to me. That means for Paul to expect growth from the congregation, he must also have a designed syllabi to feed them with the right knowledge that we accumulate the growth. So in this church, for example, if you attend this church for 3 years, consistently, every day for 3 years, you have known 70% of what is in the Bible. Come on, do I have a witness?
Yes, sir.
We do a curriculum, Bible study and Sunday service parallel teachings in series consistently. in such a way that by the time you attend this church for 2-3 years, you have covered nearly everything, 70% of what is in the church, in the Bible. Except on few occasions, if God directs me to now, you know, because there are some times that I'll talk about this next week, where God can tell you to emphasize something. Because, you know, our picture of balance sometimes is not always a four-wheel driving or a four-wheel car. Our picture of balance sometimes can be a speedboat that is feeling some degree of pressure of water wave on one side. For it to balance, it doesn't have to be on balance as it were. It has to now tilt itself towards that place where pressure is. You understand? So we can have a spiritual week of emphasis where we emphasize a certain body of truth. I'll give you an instance. For instance, in Corinth, those guys can speak in tongues, work miracles, give utterance. In fact, Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4 to 9, he says that you abound in knowledge, utterance, even as the testimony of Christ is confirmed in you. Wow. Corinth were the ones that Paul had to write letter to them that they should calm down. The entire book of 1 Corinthians 14 can be summarized in two words. Guys, calm down. I'm telling you, because everybody was coming with tongues, prophecy in church. There was rowdiness. Paul said, if one person is prophesying, one person should interpret. Everybody should calm down. The gift of the Spirit was so manifesting. They exude that gift of the Spirit, but they lack one thing. They were very stingy. They are spirit cocoa with a fisted hand. So Paul had to write to them. He says, just as you abound in this grace of utterance, abound in the giving grace also. But that's not the case at all with the church in Macedonia. Even in their own poverty, the church in Philippi, even in their own poverty, they still send relief. Are you following what I'm saying? So the work of an apostle, is a lead pastor, is to discern by the Spirit instances where, all right, sometimes somebody, a church can be lacking in one area and then he emphasizes. So we're not trying to jettison that. But more importantly, there must be a curriculum. You know the mistake a lot of people do? Is it possible to be a law student in INSUK? Maybe you are in 200 level and it is exam period. And there is also, exam is also going on in University of Ibadan. Then you now say, I traveled to Ibadan. I'm in 200 level. After all, they are writing an exam too. And you enter into their exam and sit down for the exam. You will fail. Even Jesus will hear the failure in heaven. It looks very, it doesn't make sense, right? That's what most Christians do. See, anyway, the Bible says we are all one. We are all one. So if you visit, when you are not alabonbon, you know alabonbon Yoruba? You know. What's not that insect that visits all the flowers? Is the greatest cross pollinator. What's his name, safe? Bee. Go and Google. Bee can visit 2,000 flowers in a day. Be planted. Tell the person you say, be planted. Be planted. Be planted. Say it louder. Be planted. Be planted. We have a goal. See, this church, we have a goal in your life. Our goal, we want to partner with you for your spiritual growth, for your advancement. Give us time. Give us your life. Give us 3 months. You come for Bible study. You come for Sunday service. Take notes. Listen. Go to the website. Download tapes. Listen. Hear the word of God on the go. Do that for 3 months and just tell me. See, even Lucifer, if he entered this church, and he hears the word that way, maybe, because the temple cannot change. You know, the devil, that's one of the things we have against it. They don't have the capacity to change. That's why they are doomed forever. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So you have to realize that church is not an end in itself. It's a means to an end. And that means is that you grow in church to go out and bring many into Christ. You are not in Christ for yourself. You are in Christ for Christ. And you must be in Christ for Christ with joy. The kingdom of God is like unto a man that finds a treasure. And then for joy, he goes to sell all that he has and then he buys it. See, the kingdom of God is like a merchant man. So that merchant man is the old King James way for a business mogul. So he sees it as a wise business decision to sell all he has to buy that field. You are that field. You are that treasure in that field. Come on, talk to me. And he did it with joy. This is so important. So I told them in first service that one of the foundational ways you will know that you are growing spiritually is number one, the miracle of change desire. The miracle of change desire. That's what Ezekiel says. I will take away the stony heart. In fact, it is the testimony of salvation. I will take away the stony heart and I will put a heart of flesh. Heart of flesh metaphorically means an easily entreated heart. And I will take away the heart of flesh, the heart of stone, and put an easily entreated heart in you. And I will cause you to walk in my statue. And I will make you to do my biddings. So the things that used to interest you, if you are the one that you used to do, you used to womanize before. One of the ways you know you are born again and now you are growing spiritually is that womanizing ceases to interest you. There must be a testimony of changed desires. And I told them about perspective. I give you an example. Listen to four. Go and get first. I don't want to go back there. Apostle James gives us a powerful example of how that temptation is not what you think it is. Temptations are simply, all right, neutral situation that now becomes a problem because of your own inward faulty disposition. Someone say, all these ladies, the way they are wearing miniskirts, that's why there's too much rape now in the world. Really? But there are mad women on the road walking naked. So you can see the problem is not that the woman is naked, because a mad woman on the road eating dustbin is naked. So if nakedness was the guy's problem, then he should have tried it on the mad. So the problem is not the nakedness. The problem is he has a faulty inward disposition towards women, that anytime he sees a woman, he sees food. Are you following what I'm saying? Apostle James tells us in James 1 verse 9 to 11. That, take for example, if a man, a guy of low income, he said he should rejoice in that in Christ he is exalted, and that the rich guy should be sad in that what his riches will perish. What a perspective. That lack of a thing that should have naturally made some people go and steal, a guy in Christ whose desire has been transformed, whose perspective has been touched, we see his lack and say, wow, thank you, Lord. In spite of my lack, I am exalted in Christ by faith. Oh, hallelujah. And the guy who is rich says, wow, in spite of my riches, my riches were not enough to make me justified in Christ. I still have to be justified by faith. What a perspective. So spiritual growth influences your perspective, influences the way you see things. Your desires changes. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Then number two is this. All right. That will show that you are growing. I hope you are writing. Number one is the miracle of changed desires. I'm telling you how you can do your own personal assessment to know if you are growing. Because if you are not growing, you have no point being in church. Because the essence of your growth is so that you can bring many more into Christ. Number one, change desires. Number two, very, 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 very remarkable proof of spiritual growth. You begin to esteem earthly things lightly. You esteem earthly things lightly. Because your passion has changed. See, the fact that Jesus Christ died for you will influence your passion. It will influence the things that catches your fancy. Look at it. Hebrews 11 verse 24. Give it to me. Hebrews 11 verse 24. Talking about Moses, it says, by faith, By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, give me another translation. The word coming to years there will help you better. Another translation. Verse 24. Bible in basic English. By faith, when he became a man. See, another translation says, when he had grown up. When he had become a man, had no desire to be named the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Listen, a lot of people do not understand what this means. Moses was actually a prince, I hope you know. He was trained in the palace. Do you know the privilege of being in the palace? That means one of the signs of spiritual growth is to make choices over chances. He had the opportunity, the chance, the privilege to remain in the palace. But he chose rather to suffer affliction with God's people. His Israelites were under bondage in the same palace where he was in as a prince. But he's a Jew. And he can't keep quiet. The same thing with Esther. Because you are fine. You are now in the palace. You want to forget the Jew? And you want to forget Esther 4:14? That maybe the reason why you are a queen is because of a time as this? And he forgot for himself from another place. You have to realize this. That even your physical beauty, listen, even your physical beauty, everything about you must be for Christ. Until, see, worship, but I don't mean worship song. You know, I've taught you worship. Worship is not absolute until it is entire. It must filter into every crisis piece of your life. Okay, you are fine. Thank God for that. And when we mean fine, say, we are just talking about fine, like, fine. What did you do to be fine? Is it not because a handsome man like this man marries a fine woman like this person? And then what did you do? So now you lost your virgin because there are ladies who lost their virginity because of iPhone 6. Now iPhone 13 Pro is lost, is around now. What would you lose now again? So, life of things, you can never be satisfied. Jeremiah 2:13-14, it says, my people have forsaken me. It says, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they have gone to him for themselves cisterns that cannot hold water. He's talking metaphoric. I told you, the Bible is full of metaphors, a figure of speech. They are forsaking me, the fountain of living water. What does water do? It quenches thirst. They have gone to him for themselves, cisterns, C-I-S-T-E-N, water cistern, that will not, he says, cisterns that cannot, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. God is like, are you kidding me? You know, it's like, imagine handsome boy like me now, for example, and if you think I'm not on your own. All right, handsome boy like me, you know, imagine, for example, imagine if I toast a girl, and then the girl says no. I say, no problem. Then 2 months later, I now saw out another guy, and I'm like, hey? Even if you said no to me, no problem. But you have now gone to a guy, I am finer than him, I have money than him, I can preach than him, I'm stronger. That's the way God is feeling. You have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and you have gone. God is like, Kai, you know, try. Oh, hallelujah. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But look at what he did, verse 25. And choose to suffer with the people of God rather than to enjoy a short-lived, I won't say short-lived, short-lived pleasure of sin. Can I give you a very simple example of it? There are some people in this church right now, they refuse to go home for ASUU strike. Can you imagine since when ASUU strike, they did not go home? Why? Because of church. One was even telling me that because when she gets home, she'll just go there and be learning rubbish, all the things. So you mean you stay back? And then, by the way, I'm also learning some things. I'm growing in some other things, you know. One was even telling me that her parents said that she's stubborn, but they have allowed her to be stubborn. See, you must grow up to a place where you put your life in your hand. If you allow your parents keep putting hand on your head, see, they will pamper you to death. Yes. Some people are not growing spiritually. Why? Have you ever seen, Bible says, they that be planted in the house of God, they shall flourish, right? Yes. Have you ever seen a tree in one place? Then the next day you see it somewhere else. Watch out. Very soon now, ASUU will call off strike after how many months now. When they resume now, you'll see. When you start communicating with them, you feel like, hey, did we have the same pastor? Have you ever seen two brothers or two sisters from the same home? And their behavior is so different. And you're like, do you have the same father? Why? That one is feeding several rations. Crazy rations here and there. My university, during Obasanjo's strike, the strike went for 10 months. I'll be 8 months. I was in school. I mean, I was in 300 level. How do you explain? And I was pastoring a church, not a fellowship on campus. So you want me to go and open church and tell them, church? Sure, you know I'm a student, actually. We are on strike, oh, and I'll close church. You also see my spiritual father minister. I mean, will I go and tell my spiritual father, say, daddy, we are on strike now. I want to close church. He will first ask you, wait, is he a shop you opened or church? My dad stopped sending me money. He said, that Jesus that you are pursuing, he will feed you. And guess what? He fed me. Jesus fed me. I've told you before, right? I had nothing. I would carry my Bible, go and preach. And when I go and preach, I remember then, you know, I'll open it, I'll knock, I'll preach. They say, ah, sir, would you like to? I'll say, no, the Lord is good. I'll just preach. You know, they'll say, come, we are cooking. I'll say, oh, glory to God. The Lord is good. He'll serve me spaghetti. And then I'll eat. I'll say, oh, the Lord bless you. So I was literally going to preach every day because I was believing that as I'm preaching, I will eat that day. I don't live by faith, though. Not me today, though. Brother, we just add some beans we are cooking. I said, no, oh, the Lord. He said, come. I said, no. It's a lie. I'm waiting for the person to call me. Come. I said, no, the Lord is. I'm just, brother, God bless you. God. Boy. Say, anyway, I will now say, anyway, Jesus said that if we offer us anything, we should not reject. You know, the Lord is. I'll just fetch me little. And I'll just eat. That's the food for the day. So I actually lived on the gospel. And I've been living on the gospel ever since. Oh, glory to God. I said, glory to God. So number two is, you esteem earthly things lightly. So this guy, when he grew up, notice the Bible says when he became a man, he esteem earthly things lightly. He make choices over chances. He's not moved by the temporal, short-lived pleasure of the world over his. That means he has his priorities set right. Spirituality above other things. That's when you grow spiritually. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Number three, you know you are growing spiritually. Should I give you? You no longer live for the praise of man. All right? The things you do for the Lord, whether or not you were applauded, notwithstanding, you are living for the audience of one. Your audience is one, God. Are you following what I'm saying? That's spiritual growth. You know how babies feel? Oh boy. It happens both overtly and covertly for the baby. Because a baby, if you appraise them, they will now feel puffed up. Their head will swell up. But guess what? If you live for the approval of men, you will die for the criticism of men. The reason why criticism gets to people is because they were actually living on the appraisal of men. Are you getting what I'm saying? You grow spiritually, the praise of men is no longer, men praise you or not praise you, you keep going. You don't let it enter into your head. Especially in ministry. When they start praising you, they start praising David. Ah, Saul has killed 1,000, but David has killed 10,000. Excuse me, which 10,000 did he kill? Abba. Exaggeration. So you think you are doing fine, but the capacity in you is crying that, guy, you have not done anything. The enemy of better is good. Yeah, I'm doing good enough. And your good enough is actually a measurement in comparison with others who are not doing well. It's like when I was in secondary school, primary school, I came out first in my class, 69. I came back to my parents. My parents says, you took first. And so what? You took first because everybody was dummy. Out of 100, you score 69. And you are claiming first class. What kind of first class is that? It dawned on me for the first time that so somebody can be first in a class, and he's still, and he's a dullard. Because you are a dullard, how can you score 69 out of 100? And you are the first in the class. Praise God forevermore. Some people, they are champions in their fellowship. So when they come to church, we say, do foundation school. Say, me that I'm papa. My papa. See the papa. Papa, papa, you there. Is the reason why many of them after school, you are wondering, but that papa was hot on campus. She can't hot. You see, fellowship president, you see three people carrying the Bible. It's another person, you know, I'm like, hey. They have people who are responsible. Mama, who is cooking for them? Hey? Since this church began, no woman in this church. Since I've been pastoring in 11 years, I don't have a cooler ministry. Somebody cooking for me. And I've been single. Although the singleness will soon end. Amen. Amen forevermore. Amen. So you are not living for the praise of men. Therefore, their criticism will not get to you. Very important. Are you learning anything at all? These are ways you know if you are actually growing. And also attached to the praise of men. That's number three, right? Number four, let me close here. Oh boy, this is amazing. How you know you are growing spiritually is you begin to see things with the eyes of faith. That the things that comes to you, situations that you face, you see from the mountaintop. Look at David. Look at Joseph. Give me Genesis 50. Genesis 50 and verse 18. How many of you know the story of Joseph? I don't want to go over it again. You all know the story, right? You know how his brothers were ill-mannered against him. When the table turned, he didn't do pepper them. How can you even be doing pepper them? You are the salt of the world. Yeah. Salt them, gang. That's what you should be going to. Or light them up. Like Baba Deboye, lighting everywhere. Light Gombe. Light everywhere. That's what you should be. Not pepper. You are not pepper of the world. You are the light of the world. Look at it. He says, then his brothers also came to him, bowed down before him and said, we are your slaves. See, you know what happened? Conscience is now judging them. You all know the story now, right? Good. But look at some people, even if they want to do good, they will still talk. They will say, never finish for now. I'm not telling now, say now go bow. I tell now. Sunday, Amarancha. Hey! Odogu. God! Let them go and first give them 10K first. Some people will do that. You will still show them. You will say, Judah! You are the one who said that they should bury me inside that pit. You. Come. Our daddy is dead now, she. Daddy Jacob is dead now. See? Never finish for now. I go show na shege for this temple, for this area. That's what some people would do. But Joseph, look at, oh boy, look at verse 19. Verse 19. He says, but Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Now, I want you to read verse 20 with emotion. He says, look at, oh boy, I cried when I read this place. Look at it. He says, 20, you planned evil against me. God planned it for good to bring about the present result, the survival of many people. Wow! So Joseph saw all the travail he went through as God's ways of turning it to save people from dying. Because had Joseph not gone through what he went through, he wouldn't have been able to subscribe a solution to the famine that was to happen, and the whole world would have gone bankrupt. There wouldn't have been food in Egypt. Even his own brothers too would have died because there was no food in Israel. Israelites were coming to Egypt. He saw from the mountaintop. He saw the glory in his travail. He saw the gain in his pain. I told you, there is a perspective to see things. Listen, you are never disadvantaged. Never. It makes no difference what is happening around you. If you dig deep, there is something. This is how you know you have grown spiritually. This is how you know you've grown spiritually. That nothing is capable of taking you to the world. Listen, people say, some people were, listen, anybody that is lost from the church was never in church. So you are lost to the world. You were never in church. Say, they offended her. That's why she did not come. She was if they left us, they were never part of us. Have you seen those people that are ranting on social media saying, and there are some good musicians, it's because church did not take care of them. That's why they now began to sing secular. Listen, they were never in the church. And a lot of people, and people in the world, by the way, I'm sorry to say this word, they are sick in their head. You know why they are sick? Because they feel their definition of best voices. Listen, let me tell you, there are people in church serving God in churches who have beautiful voice than Rihanna, than Beyonce, but they are serving God quietly with their gift, making no noise about it. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? But, you know, people have their own world standards, so they think the best is Beyonce. The best, it's a lie. Have you been to churches all over Africa? Have you been to churches in Nigeria? I have a friend who ministers in Dunamis. Beautiful voice. I mean, Dunamis at Kotashi ministers. I'm not making mouth. I've seen people serving in church, no rancor, just going about doing their job because they know it's part of the sacrifice that we make for the furtherance of the gospel. Come on, talk to me. When I meet my classmates who try to taunt, G7, or what do you call those cars? AMG, or what do you call, is it 4MG, you call that? I say, come. They tell me, I was the best chemistry student I used to go for debate, they say, can you see? You too. You mentioned the other guy's name too. All of now we know book. Now come turn pastor. See, I say shut your trap because God wants the best of us. To them, they feel like we are losing. We are not losing. We are gaining for the Christ. Come on, talk to me. God wants the best, and we are the best, and we are in for God. Because we are in a business that has eternal value. The things of this world is gonna rot someday. We're saving men. We're giving them eternal life. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Wow. My God is in reconciliation business and he has recruited me into it. You know, some people make big mistake when they try to use their natural mind to assume that Jesus was demanding too much from that young rich ruler. Thank God the Bible told us that Jesus loved him. So that some people will not see maybe Jesus was trying to get the guy's money. Mm-mm. The Bible says the master loved him. He says, what can I do to get eternal life? Jesus was like, okay, eternal life. Because Jesus knew the guy is legalistic. Jesus said, after you obey the law of Moses, thou shalt not. He says, all these things I've been doing since I was youth. As if Jesus did not know. You know, Jesus is a very good teacher of God's word. He now says, okay, one thing you lack, go and sell all you have. Give it out and follow me. That a lot of people say, Jesus too asks for too much. You are the problem. Your mind, you don't understand. See, let me paint a simple scenario to you. Does anybody have a business? Some of you, if you have a business, let me see your hands up. You have a business. Okay, now. With this your business that you are doing now, if you walk out of this church now after service, all right, and Bill Gates walks down there and calls you and say, you know what, I want to make you 10 years MD, not even forever, MD of my company. Will you say, no, I have a business. I have a business. How much is all your business? Some of you will not even go back to change. You just say, business? I beg. Right? The reason why people thought Jesus was asking too much from that guy is because they don't know what Jesus offers. Our value for eternal life is low. Do you know what is eternal life? Jesus said, sell all you have and follow me. Follow me. Oh boy, he missed the greatest deal of his life. Let me add one more thing to you. Do you notice that when Jesus, the disciples, when they were asked, Jesus asked them, since you followed me, did you lack anything? What did they say? We lack nothing. So it's not only in the afterlife, even in this life. So the guy missed 2-0. This is what we are called into. This is what we are training you for in church. Spiritual growth, you see from the mountaintop. Your eyes of understanding, you see differently. Hallelujah. See, let me tell you, even as a young man, all right, you're believing God for, you know, a spouse, all right, there will always be possibility. I hope you know that there is no specific person from heaven. Don't let anybody deceive you. But you can have sphere of possibilities. Even amongst fair possibilities, all right, I think we'll start doing men's. Don't worry, when my wife comes, we'll start doing men's. I will teach you. There are some things, oh boy. Anyways, let me just stop. Some people don't know how to make choice. You know, that sometimes I just look at, as a pastor over just barely, we are 200 and something in this church. And I'm just like, man. You know, in my head. But you know now, we can't do much. We can't be doing matchmaking in church. Sometimes I'll just look at a brother in the spirit. I'm just like, And I'll look at another sister. I'll say, And I'll just look again. I'll say, But she's there, he's here. And I'm like, God, can you just join? Hey, these people will make, But you see, I cannot go and say, I prophesy that. No, I don't do all those kind of things. But the same very person that he's supposed to go for is the one he will be despising. Glory to
God. We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiries, to get more messages, and for counseling, please visit our website www.cornerstoneglobal.org or call the number +234 91 60 84 88 80. God bless you. We love and celebrate you.